Our subject for today, only this and nothing more. Let's pray. Father, I stand before you as your servant. I humble myself before you. I seek no glory, no honor, Father, but I desire that glory and honor will come to your deserving name. Cleanse my heart, I pray, Father. Fill my mind with your words, my heart with your spirit. Bless your people whom you love so much with comprehension. Bless those listening online, I pray. Teach us through your spirit, dear God. I pray for anyone listening to me who has contracted COVID-19. In the name of Jesus Christ, the great physician, heal those persons, I pray, whether they are believers or not. Because your word says, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Now, dear God, I commit this service to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. John 3, verse 16. What does that verse say? Don't look down. Look right at me and tell me what that verse says. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son. Stop. What's our subject? Only this and nothing more. Now I'll say the verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's all the world needs. Only this and nothing more. Go to the book of Acts chapter 4, we'll read verse 12. Acts chapter 4, reading verse 12. Who wrote the book of Acts? Quickly. Luke, very good. Who wrote the book of Luke? Okay. You're sharp on this rainy Sabbath morning. Acts chapter 4, reading verse 12. Do you have that? Some of you are still looking, that's okay. If you have my version, you may read with me. Neither is there salvation, come on, in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is none other. And what name is that? Jesus. Since there is none other, it is only this. Come on, tell me. And nothing more. Just Jesus. Let us go back to John 3. Let's emphasize. Go back to John 3. We'll read from 14, then we'll go down to 16. 14, 15, 16, our subject, only this and nothing more. You have John 3, reading from verse 14. If you have my version, read with me. What does that say? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, come on, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 14, Moses lifted up the serpent, just one serpent. You find those details in Numbers 21 from verse 5 to about verse 9. One serpent made of brass, they had to look at it, and that was all they were told to look. Jesus is speaking, the serpent represented Christ. He alone can save. Only begotten Son. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let's read verse 12. By the way, James was a half-brother of Jesus. There's another brother of Jesus who wrote a book of the Bible. What was his name? Jude. Very good. Do you have James chapter 4? Let's read verse 12. What does that say? There is one lawgiver. Stop. One lawgiver. According to the Bible, which day is the Sabbath? The seventh day. According to most of the world, which day is the Sabbath? Sunday. So which means there appears to be two lawgivers. Are you listening to me? Or are you sleeping with your eyes open? There appears, I say, to be two lawgivers. The one that said the seventh day is the Sabbath, and the one that said Sunday. But the Bible says there is one lawgiver. Only this one. Come on, finish my words. And nothing more. For whoever says Sunday is the Sabbath is competing with the only lawgiver, which is Christ. Now let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 5. We'll read from verse 35 of Mark 5. Jesus Christ has just healed the woman with the issue of blood, and he does that as he is on his way to the house of Jairus to heal Jairus' daughter, who was sick. By the time he gets to the house, of course, she's dead. Mark 5, we read from verse 35. Before we read, let me pray again. Holy Father in heaven, continue to direct my mind and my mouth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. While he what? Yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, what? Thy daughter is dead. Come on, why troublest thou the master any further? She's dead, so the case is closed. The church doesn't have the money, so let's give up our flats. I don't have tuition. Let me forget about going to college. I live in a church with no men, so let me forget about getting married. Are you following me? She's dead. Leave God alone. Leave the life giver alone, because someone is dead. And as soon as Jesus heard that word, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, finish the verse for me. Be not afraid. Finish the verse. Only believe. Only this. And nothing more. Just believe. When God looked at our condition and he'd worked out a plan to save us, it was only his son, only this and nothing more, just Jesus. Our response to him should be, believe, only this and nothing more. But there's more to that than meets the eye. Only Jesus. And nothing more. What does that mean? Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke was a medical doctor. God bless all medical doctors. But he had time for the Bible. Can you say amen? Luke had time for God. He traveled with Paul. When you read the book of Acts, you sometimes see, we did this and we did that. That's because Luke was present personally. On other occasions, he's just reporting what he was told or he researched. But sometimes Luke traveled personally with Paul. We are in the book of Luke, chapter 23, reading from verse 39. The question is, when you say you have Jesus, what does that mean? Our subject, only this and nothing more. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, are we reading from verse 39? If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. By the way, that was impossible. God loves us so much that one or the other had to perish, either Christ or us. And he allowed Christ to die. Save thyself and us. In order to save us, Christ could not save himself. Are you with me? That's love. And so he said, save thyself and us. And the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. And he said to Jesus, what? But this man hath done nothing amiss. Listen to those words again. This, what? Man. When the thief looked at Christ, whom did he see? A man. This man hath done nothing amiss. Verse 42. Read that for me. And he said unto Jesus, what? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He sees a man, and he also sees, tell me, God. Which means, when I say only Jesus and nothing more, when you have Jesus, you have perfect humanity and you have divinity. What more do you need? I'll tell you something else. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Only this and nothing more. But what's wrapped up in only? Hebrews 1, Reading from verse 10, well, let's read from verse 8. This is God the Father speaking, and I never get tired of commenting on this Bible passage. It is so unique. It is the Father speaking to the Son, and we are listening. Hebrews 1 from verse 8, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now stop and think. Back in Luke 23, verse 42, in verse 41, the thief said, this man hath done nothing amiss. He saw a man. In verse 42, he said, Lord, remember me. In one person, he saw God and man. When you have Jesus, you have God and you have man. You have someone who has power. You have someone who understands. As man, he understands what you're suffering now. As God, he can do something about it. Only this and nothing more. Listen to the Father. He said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, based on that, what do you also have when you have Jesus? A king. Only this, come on, and nothing more. But in this only, you have God, you have man, you have a king. Let's skip to verse 10. Okay, go and sin no more. Let's skip to verse 10 of Hebrews 1. What does that say? And thou, Lord, in the beginning, come on, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand. Stop. Based on that verse, when you have Jesus, what do you have? The Creator. Only this? Now, why nothing more? Because when you have Christ, you have everything. Only this? What's this only? God. Only this? What's this only? Perfect humanity. By the way, Ellen White writes, The Desire of Ages, page 664, paragraph 4. What did I say? You sound like the Tower of Babel. Let's try that again. The Desire of Ages, come on, page 664, paragraph 4. What did I say? God bless you. Jesus revealed no qualities and exercise no powers that men may not have through faith in him. Now listen carefully. His perfect humanity is that which all his followers may possess if they will be in subjection to God as he was. Only this, God. Only this, perfect man. Only this, King. Only this, Creator. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's all you need. But when you have this only, what else do you have? Go to 1 Corinthians 1. Let's read verse 30. Our subject, only this and nothing more. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. 30. Who wrote 1 Corinthians? What about 2 Corinthians? All right. Do you have 1 Corinthians 1? Verse 30, 30. 2 minutes after 12. Are you ready? Read with me. But of him are ye, where? In Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, come on, wisdom, righteousness, come on, sanctification, come on, redemption. Now, when you have Jesus, you truly have him. What do you have? Wisdom. But where is that wisdom? Where's the wisdom? Well, what does Jesus call himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so in Christ we have wisdom. We have righteousness. Pause on righteousness. Go to Jeremiah 23. Let's read verses 5 and 6. Our subject, only this and nothing more. Jeremiah 23, reading verses 5 and 6. You have Jeremiah 23? You have verse 5? Mention the hands of those who have my version, the King James Version. Oh, quite a few of you. Okay, let's sound like a choir. What does verse 5 say? Behold, I will raise, after those days, I will raise unto what? David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper. And he shall execute judgment and justice where? In the earth. In his days, come on, Judah shall, and Israel shall dwell. Finish the verse. And this is his name whereby he shall be called. What is that? The Lord, our righteousness. Jesus Christ is righteousness. He is truth. When you say only this and nothing more, God, perfect man, King, Creator, the highest level of wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All in one person. Only this. Finish it for me. We read in Mark chapter 5, verse 36. When Jesus heard the word which was spoken, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? Jesus said, be not afraid, only, come on, believe. And so we have only this and nothing more. And we have discovered that God, man, creator, king, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, only this, that's Christ. Now, our response to only this must be only believe. But, go to James chapter 2. What does only believe mean? What is inherent? What is included in only believe? We've discovered what's included in only Christ. What's included in only believe? If you have James chapter 2, remember this is the half-brother of Jesus. From verse 21. Read with me, what does that say? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Keep reading. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Faith or belief, let's group them as the same thing, faith and belief. Let's call them the same thing. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Read the last verse of James chapter 2, verse 26. What does that say? For as the body without the spirit is dead. Finish it. So, faith without works is there also. So when the Bible says only believe, it simply means only express a working faith. There is no such thing as an idle faith. Martin Luther, that great reformer, he had very little respect for the gospel, the epistle of James. He thought James was promoting works and was opposing Paul. Of course, he was absolutely wrong. There's no conflict between Paul and James. Paul is discussing justification, that instant change. James is discussing the life you live after that. There must be evidence of a change. Faith in Christ is a working faith. And so we're called upon to believe. Jesus said, only believe. But that belief or that faith is active. Only Christ and nothing more. God, Creator, King, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Only believe. Respond. Now, let's go back to James 4. We are in James. Let's stay in James. Chapter 4, we're going back to verse 12. Our subject, only this and nothing more. 8 minutes after 12. Can you imagine the music in heaven? There may be instruments we've never seen. I marvel, I'm originally from the West Indies, and we have an instrument called the steel pan. You hear that thing played by the experts, you marvel how they can play classical pieces with no music. You just marvel. And as I listen to the young people playing, I said, Lord, what will it be like when music is played in heaven? Anyway, James chapter 4, verse 12. Read with me. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Stop. One lawgiver. Who is that? Jesus. How do you know that? Because he's able to save. And the word Jesus means Savior. There is one lawgiver so that when you receive Jesus, only Jesus, you have God. You have perfect man. You have creator. You have king. You have the personification of wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And based on James chapter 4 verse 12, what do you also have? The law of God. You cannot have Christ without the law. You cannot have Christ without having righteousness. He is the lawgiver. When we listen to the Ten Commandments, and God spake all these words saying, that person was Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The instant Adam sinned, the Father no longer communicated directly. That ceased. Christ instantly became a mediator. It was the voice of Jesus who said, let there be light. His half-brother says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save, and that is Jesus Christ. When you have Christ, you have the Ten Commandments. But where do we receive Jesus? Into our liver? Our kidneys? Where do we receive Christ? Into our hearts. Then where do we have the law of God? Where is righteousness? Where is wisdom? And out of the abundance of the mouth speaking. So when you have Christ, you have all these things. Now, let's get back to only belief. When Christ has you, are you with me? No, you're not. You're nice, but you're not. We just said when you have Christ, come on, tell me what you have. Give me the list. God. Mm-hmm. Perfect humanity. Come on. King. Creator. Wisdom. Come on. Righteousness. Mm-hmm. Sanctification. Redemption. The law. You have all and much more. Now, what does God get when he has us? Can I deal with that? All right. Let me pray on this point. Father, as I enter this phase of the message, please take absolute control of all that I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When you give God who you are, and God says, to save you, I just need you and nothing else. I need you. Which means, when I give myself to God, does God have my intellect? Yes or no? Yes. So should he be in charge of my education? Yes or no? Yes. When he gave Christ, he gave King, Creator, he gave, you know, wisdom, redemption, lawgiver, he gave everything, perfect humanity. Now I'm giving myself to him. What is God getting? He's getting my intellect. And so my education is for his glory. Only this and nothing else. But what does that mean? My mind is yours. Does he have my heart? Yes. At a secular level, in other words, my romantic life. Should I consider him before choosing a him or a her? Yes. When I give myself to Christ, does he have this? Can you say yes a little more loudly? Yes. Thank you. When you give yourself to God, and God says, only you and nothing else, my money. Does he have my career? Yes. Does he have my whatever, My professional life? Yes. Does he have my body? Then should he tell me what to eat? Yes. The yeses are dying. They're dying a natural death on the Sabbath. Yes. Only this. And nothing more. Because this represents the totality of all God can give. When I give myself to Him, only this represents the totality of what I am. Here's the crisis you and I face. You see, when God gave Christ, He gave everything. What do I mean by that? Go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Who wrote Colossians? Paul. Paul was a busy man. He was a murderer before he met Christ. Matthew was a thief. But no matter who you are, if you genuinely give yourself to Christ, He'll change your life 180 degrees. What book did I say? Colossians chapter 1. Let's read verse 16 and verse 17. When I said, when you have Christ, you have everything, I wanted to add to that. Then I'll get back to when God has us, what does He have? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. How many things? All things. Let's start again. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, verse 17, and by Him all things consist. So we have all. But listen to the end of verse 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. Listen carefully. When you have Christ, what do you have? Let me give you another chance to give me the right answer. Answer me in the context of verses 16, 17 of Colossians 1. Listen again and then decide what are the verses talking about. For by Him were all things. What's the verse talking about? Creation. Now verse 16 ends, all things were created by Him and for Him. Now, when you have Christ, what do you have? The entire universe. That's no joke. The entire universe with its riches are at your disposal as God sees you and I have need. And have put all things under His feet and have given Him to be the head over all things to the church. All the treasures of the universe are at the disposal of Christ for the church, as the church has need. That's why I say when you have Christ, you have everything. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8. The silver and the gold are mine. We need money. The Bible says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, Psalm 50:12, for the world is mine, fullness thereof. Psalm 95, verse 5, the sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Verse 4. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. Matthew 5:45. He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And of course sendeth His rain. When you have Jesus, you have everything. Now let's get to us. When God has us, here's what He has. Lord, here's my life. Don't tell me how to spend my money. Lord, here is my life. Don't tell me who to date. Let me engage in boyfriend evangelism. Lord, here's my life. Don't tell me how to dress. Just save me and leave dressing to me. Lord, Here's my life. Don't tell me how to eat. I'm old enough to decide that. My listening friends, when God gave Christ, He gave everything. That's why it's only this and nothing more. When we come to Christ or to God, we have God saying, there's something missing. Something's missing. Something's missing. From me, it may be my pocketbook or my wallet. From you, it may be your romantic life. From you, it may be your academic pursuits. From someone else, it's professional pursuits. God is saying, wait a minute, something's missing. It is not only this or nothing more. Something's missing. Give it to me. Then I could say, only this and nothing more. Because your entire life has been given to me. My brothers and my sisters, it's 19 minutes after 12. You all look like nice people. Real nice. I said 12:30. Can I go to 12:40? Say yes. All right. What are Leviticus 1? Quickly. Leviticus 1, book number 3. Who wrote that book? Moses. I hope someone has said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. You don't know how badly I need it. I hope you'll take my word for it. Do you have Leviticus? Verse 1. And the Lord God called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man bring an offering to the Lord, he shall bring his offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male, come on, read the next few words, without blemish. Now listen to me carefully. The sinner brings a male without blemish. But describe the sinner. Come on, describe the sinner. Full of blemishes. Now, when the sinner gets to the outer court with this lamb, this kid, this whatever, what does the priest examine? Come on, talk to me. What does the priest examine? The animal, not the man. Now, I'm not excusing sin. Don't misunderstand me, please. I want you to understand your salvation is not based on so much on what you do or what Jesus has done. Notice I said not so much. Because you have to accept, you have to believe, that's our part. Ellen White wrote somewhere, and I should have committed that to memory, it is not important what God thinks of you. What's important, finish it for me, what do you think of Jesus? Here comes the sinner with the animal. The priest cuts the animal into pieces to make sure the inside is as clean as the outside. He washes it. Puts it in order, does nothing to the man. All the man does, he puts his hand on the head, verse 4 of Leviticus 1, thereby identifying with this animal. But the focus of the entire activity is the animal, representing Christ. Now go to verse 4 of Leviticus 1. Read this very microscopically. Are you there? Read with me. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. In other words, it is accepted in his place. If you and I could save ourselves, Calvary was a waste of time. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, identifying with it, confessing his sins. And it shall be accepted for him. Notice, it shall be accepted for him. It is not the sinner who accepts it. Who accepts it? The priest. But whom does the priest represent? And God. God accepts Christ's sacrifice on my behalf. But I've got to put my hand on him. My qualification for heaven is not me. It is this man Only this, come on, and nothing more. But when I say only this, what do I see? God, come on, what do I see? Perfect humanity, what do I see? King, what do I see? Creator, what do I see? Wisdom, redemption, sanctification, righteousness, what do I see? The lawgiver, all of that I see when I see that man of whom I can say only this and nothing more. When God sees me, he must see my education. He must see my physical life. He must see my romantic life. He must see my professional life. He must see my social life. He must see everything about me. He must see my recreational life. He must see everything. Then he can say nothing more. Because there's nothing more to give. Question for you. Is that how we have given ourselves to God? Don't answer me. Only believe. Total surrender. And total surrender means nothing is held back. God will accept nothing less than absolute surrender. Many who profess to be Christ followers have an anxious, troubled heart because they are afraid to trust themselves with Him. They do not make a complete surrender to God, for they shrink from the consequences that such a surrender will involve. Unless they make this surrender, they cannot have peace. The foundation of peace is to take God at His word and a total surrender to God. So there's no Monday I'm this, Tuesday I'm that, Wednesday I'm that, Thursday I'm that, Sabbath I'm the high priest, on Sunday I'm Beelzebub. No such thing. That's Ministry of Healing, page 480, paragraph 3. Many who profess to be Christ followers have an anxious, troubled heart because they are afraid to surrender themselves to Him, to give themselves completely, because they realize if they do, all these things will be involved. My brothers and sisters, we look at Christ and we need nothing more. When we come to God, He looks at us, He must say, nothing more, only this. Why? Because there's nothing left to give. Is that how you've given yourself to God? Could it be that when we do not make that kind of surrender, we miss the blessings that are given to those who do make that total surrender? I'm calling upon you today. Recognize Jesus Christ as all that you need. But also recognize all that you need wrapped up in one person means God, the power, humanity, compassion, understanding, King, He rules the universe, Creator, He sustains the universe, He personifies wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. It means He's the lawgiver, the standard of right and wrong. And when you give yourself to God, God should tell the angels standing around the throne, you see that man? That's all I need, nothing more. His wallet is mine. His stomach is mine. His degree is mine. His romantic life is mine. His social life is mine. You see that man standing who attends that church in Greenville, Tennessee? All he is mine. That's all I need and nothing more. Question for you, very simple. How many of you will say with me, Father, having heard this message, I recommit my life to you fully so that you can say only this and nothing more. Can I see your right hand? Now, do you mean that? Stand up with me, please. Only this and nothing more. But remember what that includes for man and for God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. The simplicity of the word. We thank you, God, for the Spirit who has enlightened our minds as we've listened to your word. If I've said something I should not have said, forgive me. If I try to glorify myself, forgive me, God, and cast my sin into the depths of the sea. We thank you for Jesus. He's equal with you. He lived a perfect life and offers that to us. He is King. He is Creator. He is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He is the lawgiver. And as we stand, we recommit ourselves with a greater level of intensity, Father. And when we say we recommit ourselves, we're giving you our bodies, our time, our wallets, bank accounts, our 401s, our IRAs. We're giving you our social life. We're giving you our educational life. We're giving you everything, dear God, so that you can say only this and nothing more. So that there's a balance. As heaven gave all, we give all. Bless every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. A particular blessing on the choir, dear God, who conducted themselves in a way I know that put a smile on your face. But Father, reserve your sweet blessing for all our guests. Bring them back tomorrow night, dear God. Remember your people online who are watching. Touch them. Let something I said transform their lives. As we leave, let us reflect on what we've heard. Only this and nothing more. Bring us back tonight, dear God, in great numbers to hear your word. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Our closing hymn.
Oh, brother, be faithful till Jesus will come, for whom we have waited so long. Oh, soon we shall enter our glorious home and join in the conqueror's song. Oh, brother, be faithful, for why should we prove unfaithful to him who has shown such deeds, such abounded and infinite love, who died to redeem us his own?
Oh, brother, be faithful, the city of gold, prepared for the good and the blessed. Is waiting its portals of pearl to unfold, and welcome me into thy rest. Then, brother, prove faithful, not long shall we stay, in weariness here and forlorn. Time's dark nights of sorrow is wearing away. We haste to the glorious morn.
Oh, brother, be faithful, he soon will descend. Creation omnipotent and king, while legions of angels his chariot ascend, and palms of victory bring. Oh, brother, be faithful, and soon shalt thou hear thy Savior pronounced a glad word. Well done, faithful servant, thy title is clear, to enter the joy of the
in heaven. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. As we leave this place of worship, dear God, let mighty angels go with us. Let us reflect on what we've heard and recommit ourselves to you. Bring us back this evening, dear God, to hear your word again. We extend these prayers and blessings for all those watching online. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus, only this and nothing more. In Jesus' name we pray, let God's beloved people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.